Invite your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. You're looking at verses 24 to 29. That's on page 1032. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When Jesus finished these saying, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. We've spent the last week in Vacation Bible School looking at the theme of wisdom and foolishness. And parents, if you didn't get one of these children's bulletins, it's got some things that just are part of this passage. So if you want to grab one, we can do that for you. So I'm going to have the children help me some this morning. It's sort of a review, but it's okay for adults as well, as it applies. So if you're looking at the outline, you see there's a number of blanks. So what is wisdom? All right, children over there, remember this card? Okay. Wisdom is learning what God says is right and doing it. Loving what God says is right and doing it. It's not enough to say, oh yeah, that's the right thing. But wisdom means doing it. And then there's a contrast to that, because the book of Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom and foolishness. So what is foolishness? Right? Foolishness is loving what God says is wrong and doing it. So you can look around the world around you and people say, well, that's what God said, but I don't really care. I'm going to keep doing my own thing. Now, one of the things we looked at this week, and Brendan did a lot with this, okay, we looked at four different kinds of fools. I'm going to be down here for a moment. The first fool is the simple fool, because he believes anything. Okay? So, would you stand up, Luke? Okay, what color is Luke's shirt?
Green.
No, I think it's blue. Okay? No, it's blue. Now, I'm a pastor, so when I say it's blue, doesn't that make it right? It doesn't? No. Well, what would happen if I said, Luke, your shirt is blue, and he said, okay, it's blue? That means he's being simple. He's believing anything. Okay? The simple person believes anything. And you need to realize there are a lot of people in the world who simply believe anything. Oh, the world just came by itself and it's not there. They don't believe that God made it. It's like, well, they just got there. How did they get it? Well, I don't know, but it just did. Or people who live by saying, well, there's no consequences. I can do what I want. See, that's believing anything. And see, what we've been looking at in Proverbs is we're looking at how do we find out what is true by looking at God's word. Right? Now, there's a second kind of fool. We're going to talk about the rebel. Okay? What marks the rebel? He's stubborn, okay? You all remember what Brandon did? Oh, come on up, Brandon. Okay? Now, those of you over here, I'll pick this up just so you can see it, so you know that I'm not pretending. There is an iron here, okay? Now, Brandon wants to touch the iron. What are you going to say to Brandon?
No, yeah.
Don't touch it. Why?
No.
Because you'll get burned. But Brandon is stubborn. Go ahead, touch the iron. Want to touch it again?
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's because he's stubborn. Did you know he was that stubborn when you got hired? Keep the iron unplugged around It was plugged in, but it was turned off. Right? But that's another mark. He was stubborn. Now, children and adults, you ever get stubborn? Husbands, wives said, don't do that because you know what will happen. No, it'll be all right. I just brought this to mind. When I bought my first motorcycle in 2001, Nancy wasn't particularly happy. And she was sure that I would fall. Second day out, I hit a curve I wasn't expecting. I fell, and I broke my collarbone in 6 ribs. I rode it home. I'm already feeling really stupid because I fell. And I remember saying that, you know, sometime later I said to me, I fell and broke my collarbone in 6 ribs. And I said, I rode it home. And he said, you are a warrior. That's not what I was thinking. But what did I have to say to Nancy? I mean, I got home, got my motorcycle, dusted myself off as best I could. But I had to go in and say, your worst nightmare just took place. And I sort of went up to the hospital. They actually said, oh, yeah, he broke the collarbone. I said, that's not what hurts. He said, can you break that many ribs? And by the way, with either of those injuries, there's nothing they can do. There's no cast. It just has to heal and it hurts. I was a little stubborn. Probably not the only time, right, Nancy? That was a side of it, amen. The mocker is somebody who makes fun of God and the things of God. You believe in God? Have you ever seen God? Why don't you believe in God? That's why they tell you all kinds of things. They mock all kinds of things. You're spending a beautiful Sunday morning in church when you could be fishing, camping, golfing, whatever. We just took an offering. And for many of us, we are intentional about our giving. You give that much money to the church? And you could spend that on a lot of other things. The mocker makes sense. He's a fool. He's making fun of the things of God. You don't really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, do you? See, that's pretty good. So they ridicule other people. They ridicule different customs. And in the Bible, what we find is even on the cross, they were mocking Jesus. If you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. And then the fourth one that I've done is I wanted to highlight this. It wasn't one of the first ones we looked at, but it's the godless fool. The godless fool, the godless of Proverbs says, the fool has said in his heart, that's what I'm saying, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's no room for God in his heart. See, the Bible would say the heart is the center of our being. Everything flows out of the heart. So Proverbs will say, keep your heart with all diligence. So it's possible, so this is the danger, children. It's possible to be very religious. You go through a lot of the customs and the practices, but God's not really in your heart. Some of the great changes. That's why some of the things that we're being encouraged to pray for our children is that they would have wise and understanding hearts, that they wouldn't be foolish in decisions that they make. And that brings us to the key point here. Wisdom and foolishness aren't merely outward things. Wisdom and foolishness are matters of the heart. See, that's what the Bible keeps talking about. Listen to these three references, all in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And keep your heart with all vigilance. For from it flow the springs of life. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. You can see where somebody's heart is by the ways in which they talk, the ways in which they move. And here's one of the problems. I don't think we talk about this very much during vacation Bible school. Foolishness is natural to us. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, they did something that was unwise, it was rebellious, but it was foolish. And ever since then, we have foolish hearts. And Proverbs says this. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That's the natural result. And one of the interesting things is, as we think about Jesus, he's clearly not, but he's fully human. And did you know when it comes to wisdom, Jesus had to learn wisdom. He didn't automatically, at the age of two, his father was a carpenter, know how to pick up a hammer and nails and do all kinds of things. And so he didn't have that. So Luke 2:52 says Jesus increased in wisdom as he grew older. He grew wiser. He increased in favor with God. So one of the things that means, if you're looking at the outline, that means we need to learn wisdom like Jesus. Jesus grew into wisdom. And by the way, it all doesn't quit when you get to a certain age. See, we need to learn wisdom like Jesus, and we need to learn wisdom from Jesus. And that brings us to the passage that we read, and we sang about it during the week, right? It's a story of two men and two houses. Jesus talks about a wise man and a foolish man. Both of them hear the words of Jesus. The wise man hears Jesus' words and puts it in practice, and the foolish man does not. And basically, the song goes one way. The way Jesus tells it, he tells about the wise man. He says he built his house on a rock. And we're going to see that in that passage, the rock is Jesus' teaching. So he built his house on that rock. And then he talks about the winds and all the things that come in, right? What does the foolish man build his house on? We learned it. Remember, kids, you can do this one, okay? The wise man built his house upon a rock, okay? And the foolish man built his house upon the sand, right? And then Jesus says they both have similar experiences. See, in the application, Jesus is saying, if you're building on the rock, you're building it on my teaching. Even some of the hard things Jesus has to say. He warns about the cost of following him. He says that if you're going to follow me, it's not always going to be easy. Okay? But the foolish man either rejects it or just ignores Jesus' teaching. Okay? He doesn't want to follow God. Why does the foolish person not want to follow God? Because he wants to be God. He wants to have things his own way. And both, notice, both houses, both men experience the same thing. There are storms that are coming. There's rain, and there's floods, and there are winds. See, in one sense, it doesn't matter whether you're wise or foolish in terms of what you're doing. You're going to have some of the same experiences. Some of them will be the storms of life. So how many of you watch the news this week? Terrible rains and things. And it's been interesting because I don't think Pittsburgh ever had a spring like this, where so many times the water has come so fast that it ends up flooding. You know, if you down to the mall down there, I think the water came out and flooded. Could not get up to the Ross Park Mall because there's 3 feet of water coming. And sometimes the rain in Pittsburgh this week has come so fast, it's washed mud and it's filled all the drains. So we've got water everywhere. And people, you know, one car stranded and the car blew up and stuff. All kinds of things. So we've seen some of that work. You've been watching the news, the terrible things that are going on. And so we've seen real rain. But sometimes rain is an illness or loss or disappointment or something going wrong or being let down by somebody or experiencing some deep disappointment or overwhelming grief. Only in a few rare sections of the world do you avoid rain, maybe no rain. But most of the world, no matter where you are, you get rain. And if you have relatives in the Midwest and something like that, it's so difficult because you need just enough rain, but not too much rain. You know, if you've been watching that, they've been having all kinds of tornadoes and a variety of things downward over here. How much rain are they predicting in one place? Like 2 feet of rain expected in the next 3 days. Like, wow. But the rain is an illustration. Everybody in their life is going to have some rain. We may have some difficult things. It's not going to be just a little bit of rain. It's going to be overwhelming rain. And when that rain comes, it tests what we believe. What I believe about God. What I believe about truth. What I believe about faith. And then it talks about the floods. And the rain and the floods are obviously going together. The rains come down and the floods come up. When the song goes. Proverbs warn about foolish behavior or the foolish thinking of the world. And the difference is, you can see the rain coming, but sometimes the floods come up very, very quietly. until you've seen that in a number of places in our country, that flood gets a certain level, and all of a sudden some of the levees and things feel that they can't handle it anymore. But floods come in quietly. As the people who've been caught in floods, it just started coming. You didn't even realize it was coming. And there it is. And again, it sort of represents the world in its attitude. Proverbs warns about foolish behavior. The Bible speaks about foolish or worldly lifestyle. The Bible warns about things like language, how you talk about other people and to other people, sensuality, jealousy, immorality, disrespect. My little daughter was looking for some library books for her 10-year-old, and they said, we've got a reading level, you could actually be up through the junior high. And she was amazed at some of what was on the suggested reading list, even for junior high students. You don't need this in your reading scene. The world just sort of takes that and makes that very the gutter talk that is just standard. The abusive language. Do you ever feel embarrassed as an American about the way politicians talk to each other and about each other? At points we think, boy, it's really bad. Nancy and I both, Nancy's finished, but I'm just finishing up a biography of James Madison. And the way those politicians talked about each other, the things they printed about each other, were just awful. Where did that come from? That doesn't come from being godly. It comes from being foolish. And that's one of the marks of our culture. It's so easy to fall in with it, and name calling, and all kinds of things. Not learning how to, and I love somebody with whom I disagree, without making all kinds of nasty comments. That's one of the things that just all around us, and it's in. The winds are maybe slightly different. People are guessing at some of this, but Martin Luther John says the winds may be the attacks of Satan. And he can attack us in a variety of ways and forms. Sometimes he attacks directly. He causes us to doubt certain things or deny certain things. Sometimes he's just the accuser, the people around you knew what kind of person you were. They wouldn't even think you were a Christian. Or he says that to you, if you were really a Christian. But it causes all kinds of doubts. Bob warned us, evil and blasphemous thought, where did that come from? It's not when it comes in, we direct it, something that comes in from the outside. Right? And sin throughout the centuries has struggled with those kinds of things. That's the kind of thing that Jesus talked about. These are the things that come upon us. These come upon us. And the Bible reminds us that we're not wrestling with mere flesh and blood. We are wrestling. We're in warfare. You need to be wise in that. It's principalities and powers and spiritual forces and wickedness. Now, what are the results? We know that. Okay? The wise man's house stood. Rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Okay, now the children are going to do the next little bit. The foolish man's house, okay? And the rains came down, and the floods came out, and the foolish man's house went splat. Okay, let's all do that together. And the foolish man's house went splat. Two adults can join it. And the foolish man's house went splat. I love that. Let me even say something. It's gone. Okay? The foolish man's house goes splat. So what do we learn from all this? We've been looking at this all week long in Bible school. What do we learn? One of the last verses we've been looking at is Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. See, part of what Proverbs is talking about when it talks about wisdom is things you can learn just kind of looking back and forth this way. If you're lazy, it eventually catches up with you. The man who wanted to be out working in this garden is sleeping, and then the next thing he knows, there's no plants. So part of wisdom is looking this way, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there's a vertical dimension to wisdom that is important as well. Job 28 says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. See, so that raises a couple of questions. There's the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. The question is, who is the Lord? You need to understand that God the Father has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. Jesus' death was not a useless conclusion to a life. It was the death that would pay the penalty for our sins, and then God, in response, raises him from the dead and seats him in his own right hand. And God has made this same Jesus Lord and Christ. And that is the testimony. He is bringing his kingdom. Jesus gives warnings and encouragement because he's bringing his kingdom. So first of all, we say, well, what is wisdom? Who's the Lord? The Lord is Jesus. Well, who is the rock? Jesus is also the rock. The Psalms frequently speak of Jesus as the rock. Psalm 118. The stone that the builders rejected is a prophecy and recorded that the death of Jesus, the stone that built, has become the chief cornerstone. Acts 4:11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. So who's the rock? Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. Who's the rock? It is Jesus. And secondly, the rock is Jesus' teaching. That's the point of the parable he said. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not be like a man who built his house on the sand. So the focus then of wisdom is on who Jesus is and what he's talking. The focus of wisdom is focused on Jesus. So what's the proper response? What does Jesus want us to do in response to who he is and what he's done? Proper response is knowing, loving, and serving Jesus. Loving God means loving him and trusting him in all parts of our life, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving our neighbors means loving all of our neighbors, not just the ones we like. It's so significant. We've just been watching a horrible thing in the last couple of months in terms of what ISIS is doing to Christians around the world, and yet many of those Christians are not responding in hatred. They're responding with grace. They are praying for the people that are persecuted. That's the picture that you find in the New Testament. That on the cross, Jesus prays for those who are killing him. Stephen prays for those who are putting him in jail. And the result is people are converted by the testimony of the church. We're called to be wise. We can't do wisdom. We can't be wise and act wisely apart from God's grace. See, the challenges in this passage are really great. Because it raises the question of, am I building my life on Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension? Am I building my life on his teaching? And the passage then is a challenge to us. It's not just, oh, that's for those people who are out there, but it's so easy. There's so much pressure around us, and the winds and the rain and the floods come in. They can move us back and forth if we're not careful. We need to examine ourselves. We need to let the lessons that come.